Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. All right, we're going to play the news report, but this is the nice part of this, is that we actually have Piper Fawn, the OnlyFans model, on the phone. And she's going to yell, stop, when she hears something that's not true in the story or not quite accurate. All right, here we go.
Facebook messages, complaints, and TikTok.
You ban a vehicle.
Taking the front pew at a private Christian school in Tavares
is not just a tiny, tiny little emblem on the back of a car. It is taking up the entire windshield.
Lexi Thomas is a parent at Liberty Christian who wants this ad on another parent's car to stay off campus. That other parent is Michelle Klein. And what she has is an OnlyFans.
Well, it's definitely linked to, you know, explicit content, adult content for sure.
Klein, who goes by Piper Fawn, says OnlyFans is her business and way of life. But not all parents want what Klein is sharing, shared at school. And the school telling her not to use the main entrance and instead drop her kids off across the street. But parents at this private school say there's a simple solution if Klein wants to use the main drop-off.
Why not take the decal off?
And that would seem like an easy thing to say, for sure. But for me, you know, it supports my family. And it's legal. You know, I pay taxes just like everyone else. I'm not breaking the law. I just offended people.
That's a distraction to my children. And no matter how poorly or how good.
Okay, hold on.
I say stop there.
Yeah. Hey, Piper, how are you? Trying to figure out who the dumbass is here. You bringing your kid to school with the decal for the OnlyFans, or the school and these moms for saying you can't have that on there. Now, if I own the plumbing business, I can drive with my company logo.
Right.
This is business.
Exactly.
On the truck.
Or if you have a political belief that you are strongly on one side of, you could have that on there, and that could be just as offensive.
That's
true. If we want to get technical. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously know that it's a private Christian school, but the funny thing is this has not something I just put on my car last night. This is something that I've had on my car for like at least 2 years now, at least two full school years. And then now in the last 3 weeks, it's became this like huge problem because one mom just got super offended.
Does she have a husband who's been drilling on you?
Clients.
I mean, she's got 8 kids, so I imagine they're doing something right, but.
Wait a minute, it's not a fan shop.
And I just want everyone to know, I'm looking at the logo that's on the back of your car. It's, it looks like a minivan, and it's the back window of a minivan. And the biggest thing on there, it says OnlyFans.com/Piper Fawn.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's no picture of you like in a bikini or something.
It's just words.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like John's Plumbing.
And honestly, I could even understand if it was like a QR code where literally you just pull your phone up and slap, you know, the camera out and it's there. But it's not even that. You have to actually physically type it in. And then it's a paywall, you know? You can't see anything until you use ID and put a credit card in.
Right.
I think it's parents not wanting to be like, oh, her job is this. They don't want to have that conversation where it's like, be an adult. You can tell your kids that other people, you can have a job that's in the adult entertainment industry.
Right.
And that's that.
Just
move on.
She has a fan shop.
Right. Yeah.
She sells fans. Only fans.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, like, why can't you just leave it open? Because, you know, I'm sure you guys are aware as well. Some people don't just do nudity or explicit stuff. There is other things out there. Obviously, it's known more for what I'm doing it for. But there is other options out there and other, you know, categories that people get into on OnlyFans. So I just feel like if someone's asking you that, which is funny too, because I have a middle schooler, I have two middle schoolers and one elementary, but only two of them go there. But I laugh because neither of them have ever once pulled up in the back of a car rider line and been like, Mom, what's that sticker mean? What does that say? Like, they never have asked. They don't really care. When we're dropping off, they're not thinking about, like, the car in front of them. In a pickup line, the kids aren't seeing me because they're getting in the car and we're driving away. So that's the parent feeling offended on pickup.
Or they are.
They're facing their phones.
Yeah,
I know her.
Well, I mean, I'm not naive that kids will definitely, like, have common sense and know what it is.
Are you walking up to the door at school with a bikini and, like, high heels on?
Is there music playing?
Yeah, definitely not.
Piper's mom has got it stereo going on.
All right, you don't have your boobs hanging out, none of this. You're just
No. I honestly stay pretty modest when I'm there. Like, I mean, and I don't like, just because of what I do for work doesn't mean that's how I kind of dress all the time anyway. Right, you know, I am pretty honest generally. Because
one thing is
mother,
work and one thing is not
exactly.
work.
Right,
exactly.
What's it like when you're going to extracurricular activities for the kids?
They do have a chapel service next week that parents are invited to. I was like, I think I'm going to attend that.
Nice.
So that's we'll see how that funny. Will go. I'm sure I'll get a lot of dirty looks, but...
You know, they did do you a favor. Your numbers
sure.
are probably spiking
free advertising,
now, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm naive or ignorant to the fact of what this really can do for me. Like, I'm not stupid. Now, was this ever my intention? Certainly not. I just think it's crazy that 2 years in, it's just now a problem because one person got mad, you know?
Right.
I'm not surprised.
Now that I'm thinking of a Piper.
I'm surprised it took so long.
Piper Fawn is... Yes! That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
She's probably, like, driving into the school, like, when?
What are they, stupid?
When are they going to kick me out
God's
of here?
God's sake!
she's talking to moms at the back of the... just reaching out, stretching, like, yawning. Oh, what's this? Yeah. Is this my OnlyFans logo?
It's going to lean against this OnlyFans
What do you think of my logo?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been in, like, the, you know, the pickup line afternoons or whatever, and I've seen people walk by, and they, like, look at it and make a face, and I'm like, okay, have a good day. But like I said, until the last couple weeks, it's never been brought to my attention. Like, they've, and I think she's feeling like she's gone to administration about an issue she's had multiple times, and they've never once came to me about it. So I can, in a way, can see how she feels, because I do have kids there. I do have my own issues when it comes to that stuff about them not doing anything for an issue I have. So I feel like that's where her anger started, but unfortunately now they're using her as a scapegoat for the whole school. Of like, hey, look, you just be the face of all of our anger and let everybody take it out on you instead of us. They just sit back and say, no comment, you know, and it's like, that's typical.
I think you're fine. I think some of these people, I don't know what this one mom's motivation is. Like, you know, I'm bringing my kid to a private school so they don't have to have sex jammed down their throat by the administration.
Right.
And now I don't want them to get it while they're getting picked up.
Right. The parking lot.
I can understand that. The thing is, I honestly, I mean, I'm not saying that this is the case all across the board, but I feel like, honestly, a lot of moms are having a problem. Like, they're making a big deal when the kids are. And then when they make a big deal, they talk about it at home, and they're complaining, and they have it on the news, and they're, like, giving it life. Then their kids are now talking about it. So it's, like, in a way, they're bringing it to their own kids' attention, you know?
Yeah, they kind
of like, I was sitting here being quiet, just doing my thing.
Right.
And then she was the one that wanted to kind of make a big deal about it. So now I feel like, it is more talked about and more known. She gave it its own life and was doing the opposite of what she was trying to do, was make it quiet and go away. And that's definitely not what she did.
So what are you doing now, picking up your kids across the street?
That's dangerous to the kids.
So I think I'll cross the street and or I'll have to park far down the road. As long as it's not considered any school property, my vehicle can't be on school property. Now I can walk on, but they
the vehicle. But can you walk on with a jacket
or a t-shirt
with your logo on it?
Right.
I mean, I probably could,
That's the next level if you want to irritate
Be petty,
them.
Yes.
Right, be petty.
I vote lean into it.
Like,
be petty.
You want an airplane with a banner behind a fling of the school?
All right, we're going to keep tabs on you. And checking
new subscribers
on you.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're going to follow this story like a good news person would.
Exactly right.
All right, Piper Fawn, thanks for coming on. Oh, this is great. We have a master brewer. Master brewer.
Good heavens, master brewer.
In studio.
Master brewer in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Master brewer is in the studio.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Phil Markowski, master brewer, Two Roads Brewing in studio. I feel like we should have fanfare. It should be like, dan, da, dan, dan,
yes,
dan,
there should
da,
be
da.
Horns. There should be horn doves.
Do we have fanfare, Phil? I need fanfare.
I've been drinking coffee, so I have some.
that's my sort of fanfare.
Right.
Nice Steven cup right here.
Master brewer! I can belch if you want.
Is there a test you have to take to be a master brewer?
Not that I took.
There you go.
Yep, see?
AJ, there we go.
You're
going to
introduce master brewer.
Right, let's try this again.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah!
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, that's probably the best intro I've ever had. So
you should walk around with trumpet players.
Spiel your
and when you
tone.
Walk into a room,
right? Use different trumpets and folks drink the beer.
Comedian Ayesha May is in studio.
Morning.
She's been to a lot of breweries. She loves Two Roads.
Right.
Yeah.
And Igor's Dream release day is this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9. What is that?
Well, this is our 12th annual release of a special beer that we do called Igor's Dream to honor Igor Sikorsky, the inventor of the helicopter.
Wow.
And, you know, a great patron of the city of Stratford. Just a, you know, incredible man who was modest in spite of his accomplishments. And each year we make a, since he was Russian, we make a beer style called Russian Imperial Stout, which is a strong beer. It's usually between 12 and 13% alcohol.
Whoa. After a couple, it'd be flying too.
That's good.
Nice.
That's a good percentage.
Nice.
And we have just 400 bottles. So the traditional Igor's Dream, as you might call it, is aged in bourbon and rye whiskey barrels. And again, that clocks in usually 12% alcohol. And then we do two special variants each year. We vary that. We switch it up each year. So this year we're doing a version that was aged in California brandy barrels. And that's at 12.5% alcohol. And the other one is aged in gin barrels, and not just any gin barrels, but our Two Roads gin that was aged in these barrels for about 2 years. And then we transfer the gin out, which is now for sale in our gift shop. And then we put the beer in the barrels immediately. So they're nice and fresh, and it soaked up a lot of that gin flavor, which is, you know, botanical heavy. And that comes through in the beer, but not overwhelmingly so. It's you know, it's sort of a subtle background note. And there's only 400 bottles of each of those variants as well.
Damn.
So,
and you roll this all out on Saturday.
Saturday. So
it's like Igor open. Day.
Yes, it
that's,
is.
That's what we call it anyway. But it rolls out. The doors open at 11. The beer goes, the first beer gets tapped at 12. So we'll have all of these beers on draft as well.
Ooh.
So people can taste it before they decide to, you know, buy a bottle.
You should get one of those little remote helicopters with a claw on it and have
cool.
it bring the first beer
nice.
Out.
Very nice. I like that.
Yeah. Then
like
you got to put it away, though.
Yeah.
Right. Once you start drinking a beer, you can't have that remote helicopter
no,
coming around.
I was going to say, have two of those beers, you're going to need a ride home.
Yeah, it's in someone's hair. In the helicopter, my hair, God damn it.
Yeah. There is that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good time. So live music, food, all that.
All that. We're going to have a string quartet.
Ooh.
A string
fancy.
Quartet.
Fancy.
It's very fancy.
That's something new this year. We're also going to have...
Now they could play your fanfare when you come in. Master Brewer Phil.
Right.
Awesome.
Excuse me.
I'll be making that sound with my ass after a couple of beers.
How long have you been making beer for?
Myself, personally, a very long time. I'm embarrassed to say, but it's...
But you started old school in Connecticut, right?
Yeah. I did, yeah. So, actually, I have a Sikorsky story myself. I was working at a job that I didn't like, right? And I was underutilized. I was sitting at my desk. I was an electronics engineer, and I was mostly writing beer recipes, like at my desk, that I would brew that weekend.
Utilizing the time, yes.
And so I quit that job, and I did one of these trips to Europe until the money ran out, and I came back, and I needed a job.
You know, how old were you when you did that trip to Europe?
Mid-20s.
What'd your parents think of that?
Probably not much, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Nah, just I mean, I'd done it before, so
he's gone again.
great. We sent him to school,
right?
Paid for his education. Now he's off to Europe again.
Another beer
to spend
recipe.
All of his money,
right?
Great.
Right.
And my father said to me one time, he said, "You go to Europe like I go to Wallingford."
yeah. When it's are you going to do something?
Right. For God's sake, settle down.
So anyway, I had a couple of interviews at Sikorsky Aircraft, and I was going to start on a Monday morning in February, so about this time of year.
Yeah.
And that weekend, I was offered a job to start New England Brewing Company. This is the original that started in Norwalk.
Yeah.
And, okay, I'll date myself. It was 1989.
Not the four-way.
At this point.
Yeah.
And And of course, there was no thinking twice about it. Of course, I'm going to take this job to start a brewery. So.
Helicopter beer.
Right. There you go. And Monday morning.
What were the financials? What were you going to get paid to work at Sikorsky? And what was the pay going to be making beer?
Honestly, the financials didn't even enter into the calculation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, don't be happy.
Clearly,
I would have made more at Sikorsky Aircraft. But,
yeah, I've already been an engineer. Didn't like it.
Right. Exactly.
Beer, I'm in.
Yeah. You're passionate about this.
That was the mindset. And I was single. You know, I didn't have responsibility for anyone but myself. So made it all the more easy of a decision.
When you can make those decisions. Yeah.
And I had to call the guy who was going to be my boss. His name was Jerry Parkinson. I still remember the name.
Oh, wow.
Englishman. And I had to call him Monday morning, tell him I wasn't coming in. And I, you know, pick up the phone, old-fashioned, you know, rotary phone.
Right, right.
And I said, all right, well, this guy's going to rip my throat out. Over the phone, and
I
suppose I haven't come into me. I
just
wasted his time.
Phil, why are you calling this hour? He's supposed to be here, sir. Good heavens, man. What's up?
That's
the
close.
Only
That's
master you're going to be
bad.
Is a masturbator. You'll never amount to anything.
Funny you should mention that.
See, so I call him up.
You call
he answers
up.
The phone.
Yep.
And I said, Mr. Parkinson, you're not going to, this is going to sound crazy. You're not going to believe this, but over the weekend, I was offered a job to start a brewery. So I'm not coming in this morning. And I waited in silence.
Stunned silence?
A brewery? Give me a job there.
Cool
dude.
Nice.
Totally
awesome.
Cool dude.
Oh, yeah.
And that was that. That was that. I never looked back.
Wow.
Sick.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Have you ever been in touch with him since?
No, but I have wondered, you know.
Yeah, where is he?
Yeah, where is he?
Can you get him some Two Roads?
Right? Right.
He'd be so proud.
And all of that. So.
Love the full circle because you're doing the Igor Sikorsky. So it's like where you
and
want
to right. That's kind of brings us back. And
nod, yes.
We have a lot of regular customers who are longtime Sikorsky employees, and that's cool. They come to this event every year. Every year we have the Stratford Historical Society and the Sikorsky Historical Society on site. You know, gobs of pictures of, you know, Igor and his career, Sikorsky.
Think about that, basically,
history.
Building a helicopter in your garage.
Yeah.
Like, hey, no, the blades are going to turn, and you're going to go up in it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, you're going to go up
in it. Yeah, and then it's going to come down again safely.
I'll be over here making beer. You go up in that thing.
Right.
Just watching this first helicopter flight. There's a lot of pictures of it.
Yeah.
Man, it takes a lot of balls to get up in that thing.
Yep.
And I guess if you're Igor Sikorsky and you build this thing,
you got to prove it works.
You have to be the one. He's the one.
Exactly. It's got to be you. Right. Yes.
And he wore a hat.
Yeah.
And the hat doesn't come off.
It was a fedora. Right. Crash helmet.
That's
and he wore a suit and tie.
Yeah.
So. Right.
That's just how they rolled back then.
Got to look your best. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, you would think it's like, all right, helmet, you know, flight suit.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
I'm wearing my suit.
I'm
wearing my fedora.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
And it changed the world.
And we'll have a sort of a fun feature. We'll have actually a VR station where people can put on VR headsets.
Oh, wow.
So you can drink and fly helicopters.
Oh, that's great.
Nobody gets hurt.
That's fun.
And no one gets hurt.
Exactly.
That's the key.
Well, you guys are kind of like the Sikorsky of microbrewing here in Connecticut. I mean, there was New England and there was SBC. But you guys took it to a whole new level. I'm guessing Two Roads blew away its expectations. Like when you came up with your business model or whatever, you must have been like, all right, well, hopefully year one and year two. But you blew that away, right? I mean, you must
did.
Have
we,
had
we...
a meeting where someone came in and said, hey, man, we just can't keep up with the demand. That was a problem at some point, right?
It was a problem several times over where we had to order more tanks. That's usually your limitation.
Yeah.
And we never expected to put fermentation tanks outdoors, but that quickly became our only option. We filled the indoor space, and it's a big factory. It's 75,000 square feet.
Yeah. How soon into the opening to where you said, wow, this is such a success, we have problems we did not anticipate, and that's we can't keep up with it?
It was probably 18 months in where...
How did that... What do you think happened? What was it?
Well, it was... So, just to roll back, our plan from the beginning, we brew our own brands, but we also brew for other craft breweries.
Okay.
So, it just so happened that the wave was cresting for all of us, you know, at the same time. So, our products were more in demand, and our customers' products were more in demand at this time. It came suddenly. It was just... you know, dumb luck on our part in terms of the timing. It wasn't anything we planned. Yeah. But we,
that Road to Ruin's a good beer, though. That's a really good product.
That's our flagship.
Yeah.
And, you know, always has been, still is. So, but thank you. And, you know, it was the rising tide floats all boats. And this was, you know, maybe more of a tsunami than a rising tide. But, you know, we met the challenge and we, you know, we ordered more tanks than we thought we needed and filled them all and had to do it all, you know,
repeat, damn,
you know, rinse, repeat kind of thing. And,
man.
And, you know, the industry has gone through its growth spurt and is, you know, normalizing now. COVID definitely was, you know, was a monkey wrench in the system. And but these things happen and you adapt. And
that was a monkey wrench in the system for production, for people coming out to your brewery. But in terms of sales, people just sat home and drank, right? So
that,
did that become another issue for you? It's like, all right, we don't have people coming to the brewery, but now, and we don't have workers in the factory, but people want more beer at home.
Right. That was a problem. You know, initially, you know, half our business roughly was draft beer. So suddenly bars and restaurants were closed and there went half our business.
Yeah.
But soon enough, it became apparent that, yes, people were drinking beer at home. And so the demand for cans and bottles spiked. So then the problem became getting enough cans in short order. Suddenly we need, you know, basically that part of the business grew by 35-40%.
And I'm guessing that was the way all over the country.
Yeah, the can too, right?
Yes. All of a sudden, issue. Yeah. Everybody wants alone. Cans and right. No one could get cans.
Right.
Man. So, yeah, it was a spike. It all made sense that, you know, would happen, but none of us had been through this thing sort of thing before, so yeah. We're all learning
together.
And fumbling our way through it, and again we adapt and manage. But since COVID, bars and restaurants aren't back to where they were pre-COVID. I guess nothing is when you think about it, but that's just, it's a different world now.
Did you start putting beers in jugs? Or how did you handle the can
really
problem?
Really long straws.
No, because you know what? Because it's a neat way to solve that problem. A lot of these breweries, when they start, they instead of canning the beer, they'll put it in a jug.
The growlers. Yeah.
Blue Point.
Love growlers.
That's how they started. They started basically in a garage on Long Island.
Yeah.
And I'd go there every Friday, and they'd have a band, and it was really a pretty cool vibe.
Yeah.
The beer's not the same now. They sold the company. And it's like...
Right.
It's not even... in the same family as what you would get there.
Yeah.
But that just seems like a good solution to the problem, no?
Well, we actually were doing that pre-COVID. And the demand for the jugs is still there, but it's not what it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's cans and bottles. And the other thing is people couldn't come into the place. So
we set up
something where, people pre-ordered online, paid, so that... transaction already happened.
Just run it out.
And we went out, you know, with masks and gloves and brought the beer to their car. They popped the trunk or the hatch or whatever, put it in there, and see you later. Like,
just pour it in my mouth.
That's what we did for a while.
I'll open my mouth, just pour it in.
Yeah. That's funny. Toilet paper and beer.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
And bread flour. Yeah. Don't forget bread flour.
Oh, exactly. All the sourdough.
We all became thinkers. Yep.
All right, you guys made it look easy.
Yeah.
And it's not hard. It's really a work of passion. You guys grew so fast. Who's involved? It's you and it's a couple of other guys, right?
Yep. It's a couple of longtime friends. Brad Hiddle, who's our CEO.
Brad. Okay. I met Brad. He gave me a tour.
Yeah. Peter During and was our CFO. He was Brad's high school friend. And then Clem Polani, who is our charge of sales and marketing. We knew each other from past brewing experience. Brad and Clem were actually brand managers of Rolling Rock back in the day. And we actually worked on this brewery plan in the 90s and pitched a large casino in Connecticut with the idea of putting a brewery in there.
Yeah.
We had a number of high level meetings with the CEO, and then suddenly he wasn't returning phone calls.
Oh no.
Damn it.
Oh no.
Turned out he got caught in a skimming, you know, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yep. Really? Oh.
These things happen. Yep.
And that was the end of that. But but we dusted off that business plan in 2010 and started to modify it for the Two Roads Plan.
Cool.
Well, that worked out for you.
It's kind of like the Ring camera.
They went on Shark Tank and everyone was like, nah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Look at them now.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. And honestly, we did get some of that with, when we were talking about brewing other people's beer. We bought this big factory and filled it up with large scale equipment and we had to grow into that, you know, and it's the only way to do that was to brew other people's brands initially.
Yeah. Yeah.
As we were launching our own, we didn't have any brands prior to
every success story has a leap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a leap of faith where it's like, well, this could be the worst thing or it could be the best thing.
Make or break, but let's do it.
Let's go.
Only way to find out.
Beer or bust.
Yep.
No, I love the Two Roads story. And I love that you guys are at the Amp now. What a cool place that is to go visit.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Phil, thanks for coming in. Congratulations on all your success.
Absolutely.
And then Saturday, the radio. It's Phil, Master Brewer. Two Roads. Phil Markowski. All right, we're linked up for Igor's Dream Release Day happening this Saturday at Two Roads in Stratford. I never want to be the person who doesn't survive the apocalypse.
Right.
I want to at least make it 12 months.
Yes. At least have a dent.
That's right.
At least have a dent in it.
I don't want to be one of those people who they're gone in episode one.
Yes.
2 minutes.
Right.
2 minutes in.
Right.
Gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Either a victim of being eaten by something.
Or they just fell in front of a car or something.
Right, or vaporized by something, yes.
No, they went outside for food and they got eaten by zombies.
Never came back, yeah. Right.
There's this story. So anytime I could talk to Kevin Estella, who's a survivalist, I'm like, let's do it.
Yep.
There's a story about a snowboarder who spent 15 hours trapped overnight in a Tahoe ski gondola.
Ooh. Ouch.
That doesn't sound like a good time.
Yeah, you're cold and up in the air.
Temperatures overnight were 23 degrees Fahrenheit, -5 Celsius. Those are cold enough to be deadly to anyone exposed to them for a prolonged period, and 15 hours is a prolonged period.
Yeah.
Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Surviving.
How do you think she did it?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think part of it has to do with the fact that she was already dressed for the weather, for the most part. I mean, when we hear these stories of people who are surviving in their car overnight, they might be leaving work, and their plan is to leave the building and get into their vehicle, which might only be 10 feet away. At least the snowboarder was someone who was dressed for the weather during the daytime and just muscled through it overnight.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
They had the warm clothes on.
Exactly, yeah. The thermal stuff.
Right.
It wasn't like they went to a dance party and they got out and wearing a dress and heels.
Like that girls after the bar. When you're walking home in the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like you're walking on stilts.
Right?
You're in high heels, drunk. Yeah, what'd you say?
You know what those are called? The ones that are dressed for the club and they're in the middle of the winter, they're called Escajos.
Oh.
Hey! Escajos!
I did not know that.
That was
me in my
20s.
Terminology.
It's a new word.
Yes.
Escajos.
Right.
All right. So what I do in the fall is I always put some warm winter clothes in the back of my SUV in case for some reason I'm stuck or my car gets demolished and I have to stand on the side of a highway for hours.
Right.
As the police come and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What else should be in my car?
So I think it's really important when you look at your car, you got to look at the ways that you're going to lose body heat. One of them is conduction, and that's just making direct contact with any cold surface. So even a simple gardening pad that you can sit on top of your seat, get your legs up off of the cold air seat, you know, that will go a long way. And if you don't have a gardening pad, maybe you have a camping, you know, sleeping pad that's a closed foam pad. You know, good clothing goes a long way. Chemical hand warmers, you don't need to have an open heat source in your vehicle. You just put them inside. And if they're 12-hour heat sources, then you put, you know, a couple under your arms, kidneys, and groin. And, you know, as long as you're in good clothing, that will provide the warmth for you. So there are a lot of different things you can put in your vehicle. I just released a podcast where I go over 45 different items. So there's so many different things you can put in there. But the bottom line
is
top five good clothing.
Okay.
Good clothing.
Right.
You need to definitely have some type of artificial heat source. I would also say that it's important, even in the wintertime, to have water to stay hydrated and a way to keep that water from freezing.
Right.
So That could either be a thermos, that could be a small stove, you know, something that you can, you know, use with the window cracked or even outside your vehicle and just open the door to grab the stove or whatever. But then also something that's really important is just a big old blanket or a sleeping bag to get inside of. I mean, because that's really going to, the main culprit of killing you in the winter is going to be the cold. So you have the space, carry that giant sleeping bag and get inside your vehicle and, you know, just ride it out.
And food, right? I imagine some food in there.
It's a very low priority. I mean, most of us, after the new year, yeah, most of us are carrying around plenty of food in the form of a spare tire. So food is a very low priority. If anything, it's good for morale, but you don't necessarily need it overnight. And I would rather have someone have more chemical hand warmers or have a spare flashlight or have, you know, extra gear than food in the short term.
Remember we used to carry around the flares?
Yeah. The yes. Road flares, yeah. We used to.
They'd be in the trunk. It's a
yes.
Right. You put it down, yeah.
Have a little spike in it so you stick it into the pavement.
Yep, and somebody ran it over.
Never used them.
Yep.
Yeah. Flares are great. I'm never going to make fun of someone for starting a fire with a flare as long as they get that fire lit and as long as they stay alive. There's no shame in using something that is not a cheater but a winner.
Right.
And I don't care if you use a lighter, if you use a bow drill, if you use a flare, get that fire going, save your life, and live to talk about it.
You know, we were just talking about the pandemic with Phil from Two Roads,
yeah.
Master Brewer, and how that affected his business. And I was just made me think about, like, we were collecting toilet paper, and no one's stocking up on toilet paper now. We're not ready for the next collapse.
No.
Little did we know, toilet paper is a big thing.
Yeah.
Would have never been on my list.
It's a commodity.
For the apocalypse.
Exactly.
It's a big one.
It is. Unless you have, like, really like, clean hands.
What's on your, like, what do you keep in your, like, are you prepared for something like another virus sweeping through and, like, supermarkets or, you know, whatever, the whole thing again?
I mean, I think we got off easy with COVID in the grand scheme of things. If we look at the way that certain viruses affect people, especially in like sub-Saharan Africa, I mean, I don't think America would have responded in the same way if we saw people bleeding from the eyes, from the ears, from all the, you know, from all the orifices of the body.
Mm.
So I think we got off okay. And as far as extra toilet paper, I mean, we're forgetting the way that people used to do things and what they used to use. And I mean, there's no shame in using, you know, a washcloth that you sanitize with boiling water. There's right. no shame in using, I mean, down south, people used to talk about using corn cobs, right? So there's yeah. all sorts of things that can be used.
Crap with the cob.
Yeah. So the answer is yes, I'm preparing for a worst-case scenario, but we can never know exactly what that's going to be.
All right, so let's talk yeah. about that. Kevin Estella, he's author, director of survival, Fieldcraft Survival. What would be like 10 things that you would suggest we have in our house ready?
Okay, so 10 things you should have in your house at, you know, at any moment.
Just in case, yeah.
Okay, so number one is going to be an ample supply of food, ample supply of water. So we can say that.
Let's go back to the food. Like, so like how many stuff? Months do you think, or weeks?
Well, okay, so on average, 72 hours is the vast majority of emergency scenarios, even natural disasters. Most people are back to normal within 72 hours, even though they're not living at the same standard of a living. But the disaster, the epicenter is past them in 72 hours. So think of a blizzard, think of a tropical storm, most of the time 72 hours. However, we look at COVID, and we were in our houses for months on end.
Yes,
so
that could have been bad.
To start off with, yeah, it's easy to start off with 72 hours, then build up a week supply. And then once you build up a week, build up multiple weeks to get to a month, and then do 3 months, 6 months, 12. And then from there, if you have room in your house, you can keep going. So food, water.
Okay, but wait. Say, all right.
Yeah.
Food.
Yes.
So canned food?
Canned food is okay, but it's heavy. You have to also make the distinction between emergency food and long-term food. So emergency food could be like backpacker meals, but they're super high in sodium. You need to have something that you can live off of, but it's not going to adversely affect your health. So you need to have pastas, grains. You need to have different types of vegetables that are just dehydrated that you can reconstitute in water. And that's where the water comes in, because a lot of the foods that you keep long term, they need that water to make bring them back to a recognizable form.
Right.
And so they're actually digestible.
Rehydrate, yeah.
See, I just thought cans of Dinty Moore beef stew.
The big thumbprint.
You got meat in there,
exactly.
Well, fake meat,
right.
Potatoes.
That's actual meat. We're not quite sure meat of what, but yes.
Yeah, what grade the meat is, but we know it's meat.
Right. It looks like meat.
Right.
The picture looks like meat.
Right.
You could warm it right in the can.
Right. Well, I'm just thinking if you have a...
Doesn't sound like you like that, Kevin.
So, listen, I have nothing against canned meat. Like, I grew up eating deviled ham.
Spam?
Deviled ham. Listen, I'm half Filipino. Spam is in my blood.
Oh, yeah, spam. So, that lasts forever.
Oh, for sure.
Spam. So, if you take a DNA test, does it come out like, 70% this, 20% that, 1% spam?
Spam and Velveeta, man. You live forever.
You're part spam.
And Twinkies with dessert.
And then the other half is Martin Rosel's kielbasa and pierogies.
Nice.
Ooh.
Interesting blend, man.
Okay.
That sounds yummy.
Yeah.
All right. So pastas, dehydrated vegetables.
Maybe the kid you don't like.
Got it.
Yeah, and then the other foods after that, I mean, it's not a bad idea to stock up on, like, multivitamins, not a bad idea to add in some foods that are more comfort items than foods that are necessities, just to get you through the long haul.
Yeah.
And then water.
Lots of water.
Correct. Lots of water. And, even if you are not someone who wants to take an alcoholic drink, alcohol is a great thing to have on hand. As we saw, there are plenty of distilleries. Litchfield Distillery turned into... a hand sanitizer production facility.
That's right.
So we know that there are certain alcohols that serve multi-purpose, but let's not forget, of course, the obvious one. If you need a little pick-me-up, maybe a little shot at the end of the night might help.
Do you get hired by, like, rich people to, help them put together bunkers and stuff?
Yeah, like, do this for them. They're never going to build it themselves.
Did you hear Zuckerberg, bought, a zillion acres in Hawaii and he's building... Kind of like a doomsday bunker.
Everybody had to sign an NDA. Yeah, and he's been boring into the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the short answer is yes. The answer is yes. We do get hired. Private training. I just got back from Miami. I was working with the company Filthy Foods. They are all about training their employees and making sure that their employees know how to put on tourniquets and know how to be situationally aware. It's more and more common. It's not just for the crazy redneck. A lot of people are starting to wise up, and started to realize, okay, we should all be ready because it happened once, it's going to happen again.
Right. Okay, so food, water.
Weapons.
Alcohol.
Alcohol, medical supplies for certain.
Right.
We know that medical supplies, if there is some type of emergency that's going to create trauma, we need to have trauma gear on us. After that, I would definitely say anything that you can use for protection, and whether that is as simple as, having pepper spray, baseball bat, whatever you decide is your correct response.
You have a choice.
Protect the castle.
Yes.
Very important. And then after that, I would say the basics apply: a toolkit, channel locks, duct tape, a good sledgehammer, crowbar. All these things go a long way.
Nice.
And they can also be used for that defensive option. And then from there, you start getting into some of the other items for the home that just make sense. So you start getting into, extra lighting, emergency lighting. If you have the means, you have a generator or even a simple camping stove with an ample supply.
Stoves, I love them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you can get adapters.
You remember them? Coleman stoves?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You just screw the little propane tank in, and you got a real stove.
You're off and running.
Out in the middle of the woods.
It's amazing how small they can get, too, when they're done.
You can heat your beans and weenies.
Yep.
Your beans and weenies.
Yep.
Yeah, and I would say get the adapter so you can actually use a full-size propane tank, because then you can just take the one from your barbecue grill outside, and you can use it, indoors on your stovetop where, you can use it like a regular stove.
Nice. Kevin Estelle on. He's a survivalist, Fieldcraft Survival. We're linked up. And we're talking about that person who was stuck in the gondola.
Yeah.
But I always like to prepare for the apocalypse.
Exactly, yeah.
So we're asking him about that stuff. Do you have a policy on, let's just say everything collapsed. Everyone who knows you is going to be reaching out to you. All right? So you have supplies. And now... There's not.
Oh, hey,
Kevin.
Yeah.
It's me. Your buddy.
Me who?
But now you have supplies for your family.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, how many people do I let in and who's coming in?
Just no comprendo.
Do you have a policy for that?
No comprendo.
The policy is you prepare your friends to be self-reliant ahead of time. Huh. Because that's a common reactionary response where a person will say, well, I'm just coming to your house. Like, no, no, no. I'm going to show you how you can do this for your family so you don't need to take a dangerous trip potentially to mine.
Right. Plus,
and if that person chooses not to learn, then they've already decided their fate when they get to the door. They're not going to be let in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was a Twilight Zone episode back when everyone was building like bomb shelters.
Right.
And this guy built a bomb shelter and the bomb went off.
Yeah.
And
he's in there.
He's down there with his family and like.
Right.
And it was dilemma after dilemma.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this person. And then there's a conversation. And then let him in. It's like, well, now we're taken away from the people that are in here.
Yeah,
it's
a
very interesting episode for, you know, 1960s.
Right. Just yell, drop dead.
Yeah. Nobody in here.
No comprendo.
Nobody here.
No English.
I could talk to you for days and days and days. Kevin, thanks for coming on, man. We're linked up to all your stuff on the radio station website. It's Kevin Estella, author. Director of Survival, Fieldcraft Survival. Thank you, brother.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.